Were you? Would you say you were born ready?
Definitely not born ready. I am getting ready, and it takes me longer the older I get. Because I just realized I even forgot my glasses. Oh, I didn't forget them.
There, it's funny because I was going to say, how hard can it be? Because you got shorts and a t-shirt, and then you said the glasses.
Yeah.
Like, what? It's a good point. Because the older you get, the more you got to
accessorize. Yeah, I used to think I didn't need to accessorize, but now I'm starting to understand that sometimes
you like to be able to see what you wrote.
I do. I do.
That's a handy thing to be able to do.
Yeah, no doubt. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. Speaking of what you wrote,
this is uncharacteristic.
That's right. He's got a tablet in front of him. And when I say tablet, I mean what Mark means when he says tablet.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is one of those flip over notebooks. The cheap kind no one ever likes to write in. But Mark, that's his favorite.
Yeah. So when you hear that fluttering of pages, right. It's not just my fingers, going across the screen that's silently.
Right. When I say no one likes, I shouldn't say that. I have no idea. But I always hated those notebooks because of the flip over nature. It's like,
really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Wow.
I have negative thoughts towards them.
Now, see, I think, being able to write it down just helps me to be able to communicate better.
Yeah. And, specifically referring to the vertical format.
I understand the format that I'm using, but it's like, I would get more frustrated by your format just because I'm not used to it.
Yeah.
And that would be a distraction for me.
Yeah.
So, but that's just another way that we're different, but still value one another in the midst of it.
I mean, if it's not clear, I think it's awesome that you have a flip over notebook that you take notes.
Well,
I'm just
either
saying,
way.
It's like, that's how we're different.
That's right. So speaking of differences,
are you
different than Megan?
How am I not different?
Okay.
No, of course. I'm getting out my tablet.
Oh, I sense a little tablet jealousy here. you were feeling naked in comparison.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you're different? You're different than Megan?
Yes, very different.
Okay.
I mean, there's some, obviously, the way we think about things, we're aligned in a lot of things, but...
Sure.
But also the way we think about things, we're not a lot. So very different.
And I think that's where I'm at today is the way we think about things is different. And I think, in our podcast, our desire is to create an understanding.
How long does it take you to start your tablet?
It's as long as it takes me to find a pen or a pencil, typically a pen.
But you have to flip through several pages.
I typically keep it to an open page. That way I'm almost ready for the thing because it's like each page is a file, if you will.
But how does it not flip back on you?
Well, it's because I just lay it down like this.
I see it, yeah.
Yeah, unless a strong wind comes up and just blows the whole thing
off. Any notebook at that point is susceptible. So.
Well, yours would probably be a little less susceptible than mine.
Unless it rained. Then.
But,
both of ours would be a problem.
Both of ours would be.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You were saying, I don't even know anymore because I interrupted you.
Because you're different. You think differently than Megan.
Yeah.
And you are different than Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we are able to recognize those differences aren't bad, we're far more able to understand where our spouse or other people are coming from.
Yeah.
And recently, or like you say, maybe I'll go back. Are you familiar with Gary Chapman's 5 love languages? I know we've talked about love styles, but love languages, yes?
Yeah, and in fact, we linked to it in one of the episodes.
Oh, there you go.
Way back. I think
we probably did.
I know we didn't do an episode called the 5 love languages, but I know we talked about it in one. I can't remember which one it was.
That's all right. But
that's how many we have now.
Well, speaking of that, could you name the five languages?
Okay. Gifts.
Okay. I'm putting my thumb up here now.
He's got a thumb up. Yeah. All right. One down.
There, you know there's five.
Yes. Affirmations or words.
Words
or,
of affirmation. Yeah,
thank you.
Yep.
Time spent.
Quality time. Quality sure. time.
Touch.
Yep. Physical touch.
And dang it. Linda's yelling. She's got it.
Oh, by the way, it's Linda's birthday today.
Happy birthday, yeah, Linda. That's right. It won't be when you listen to this.
But yeah,
hopefully you do listen to this. But what is it, Linda? Give me a hint.
It begins with an A. That's
know.
Close. Okay, acts
I'll take
of
it.
Service.
Exactly.
Acts of service.
Okay, yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that one jumped out because of the time spent. I think sometimes I conflate those.
Okay. Well,
and well, I
quality time is that a desire to be with someone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, even if it's just, I shouldn't say just, even if it's sitting on a couch, you know, watching a movie together, that can be quality time. It's not, you know, but acts of service is, you know, I recognize.
You made me a sandwich.
Yeah. Or, I realize you've had a long day and I can do these things, maybe not as well as you, but when I do these things, it reflects the fact that, you know, I'm thinking about you. And I care to do these things in some ways that you don't necessarily have to. Mm-hmm. And it just reflects the fact, and same way with gifts, it reflects the fact in some ways that I was doing something and I thought about you.
Yeah.
So that conveys.
It's funny how you just described a couple of them and you described them from an outward view. Because that's how Mark is. He's loving.
I'm sorry.
I thought of them from my perspective, like what I like to get. that's how I am, folks. So let's move on from love. What's your point, Mark? We've already talked about love languages. So.
We have, but it seems like we still got a ways to go because we need to.
Called how we love, not how they love.
But we need to recognize that those gifts are reciprocal.
Yeah.
They go because both ways. I do tend to want
a give and take.
The things that I tend to want to give.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it a language.
Yeah. And the work is to give what they want and that's the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that being said, Gary Chapman did further research, and that's where, you know, it may break down a little bit for me because I'll have to look back at notes and that kind of thing. But I thought it was fascinating. Have you ever, in the process of loving Megan, have you ever got to a point where you made a mistake?
Let me think.
Do you have to think that long?
That's the joke, of course, yeah.
You've made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even been a part of you that fully acknowledges you made a mistake. And as hard as you try.
I don't like where we're going with this. Just kidding.
Justin's feeling uncomfortable. As hard as you try to apologize, it just seems like. You're not saying it correctly. There's something that's getting lost in the translation.
So in our relationship,
it
tends to go the other way. I don't let her off the hook.
Oh.
With a sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Because what you're describing, I know exactly what you're saying, and it looks exactly like that in reverse.
Okay.
And it's not because, it's not for her lack of trying.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great, that's
but yes. I know the situation you're referring to.
It just typically happens in the other direction.
Yes.
Versus where I was trying to put you in a corner.
Yeah.
No, but being
all right. I'm in a corner still, just the other corner.
That being said, I want to, with that mindset of love language, I want to recognize Gary Chapman's research developed that there are five apology languages. And I
can I pause you real quick? Is that the same thing as love languages in that there's it's bi-directional, like I may apologize. Yes. Yes. The way I apologize maybe yet isn't the way the person wants to receive apology.
That's right? Exactly right.
Okay.
So in other words, when I apologize, you know, I'm going to apologize in a certain way.
Yeah.
But I'm also likely wanting other people to apologize to me in that way. I'm thinking about Justin at this point, so I got to go from me perspective to others' perspective and vice versa.
That's right. Well, and this is perfect. The one example we just talked about where I don't let her off very easy. Mm-hmm. She wants that from me, instant forgiveness. Then let's talk about it.
Sure.
Right? And I'm like, that's not the same. That's not forgiveness. So this is great.
Yes. Yeah. And I think so often, and I think if you're in any relationship, this is kind of interesting to think about. Mm-hmm. Okay. And maybe this may be a podcast you may have to listen to more than once, but at the same time, the information is there and you can even go on Gary Chapman's site to be able to,
and we'll link to it.
Yeah. You'll be just like you're able to, you know, find your love language. You're able to find your apology language as well to recognize, okay, I'm one or more of the five. And being able to, because as we talk about it a little more, I think it's going to make sense.
Yeah, it already does.
Yeah. Well, but I, and so out of characteristic, I want you to feel free to make this a conversation, but I'm going to kind of go through the five.
Let's do it.
In such a way that.
Is it okay if I interject?
Of course. All right. Of course. And I want you to be able to. It's just, I think, you know. It's going to make sense. Because
I'll also just be quiet if you'd like to get through some of it.
I don't necessarily like to hear my voice that long.
I'm pretty
long.
Bad at being just quiet, so I don't know if I can.
So, first apology style, okay?
Number one. I got my thumb up.
Number one, yes, is expressing regret.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I want to be able to hear that, you know, simply saying, I'm sorry isn't enough. When you said that about Megan, you want something more. Yes. If this is your style, you want something more than just sorry. It's interesting because in my office, I'll hear these different styles from different people. And I've experienced them even in, you know, relationship with Chris, but
yeah.
Unfortunately, and we talk about this too. We did Pride a while back, didn't we? Is that Red Release?
That was the last. That was the one. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So by the time you hear this, it will be a few ago. Yes.
So pride and guilt. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes get in the way.
Yeah.
Of us being able to express regret. Okay. But that aside. Okay. A person who has this style wants to hear that you have a heartfelt desire to acknowledge what you did wrong.
Yeah.
You follow me. You're willing to take ownership. And it doesn't, and here's where it'll come into play sometimes. It doesn't help if it just seems that you're sorry for getting caught.
Yeah.
You follow me? There's a difference there. If you're just sorry because you got caught, that's different than expressing heartfelt regret.
Yeah.
That given that opportunity, I do it differently.
Yeah.
And I recognize that what I did had an effect on you.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
And I'm remorseful about that. And so here again.
Yeah. And sometimes the words "I'm sorry" don't even matter. If this is what you care about.
It's that's like, correct.
If you express regret, that's good enough. I hear the apology in it.
Yes.
Saying that because I relate to this one.
So that being said, I'm gonna express like three ideas that this might be you if type thing as far as that goes. Is this might be you if you want someone to acknowledge the hurt they caused. Mm-hmm. Okay. You want someone to generally express the regret of their actions and you desire to feel validated in your emotions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding. All three. 1, 2, 3 punch.
So just as
this
a display.
Is very uncomfortable. I didn't know this was going to be so uncomfortable.
But you're doing a great job. So that
feels seen and targeted at the same time.
Do you really? You're feeling very vulnerable at the moment, but know that we're here to help in that process. Right. So hold up two fingers.
Number two. Number got the two. Thumb up and the pointer finger.
Good deal. Accepting responsibility. And I'm going to recognize these are nuanced.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's important in our relationship to be able to recognize that diversity. When someone earnestly admits they were wrong to do what they did, along with acknowledging the fault, their fault in the situation. You follow me? So it's about the responsibility, not necessarily the regret. You follow me? There's a difference, because a person might want to look at, you know, okay, this is what I did.
So it's like, I'm not sorry about what happened, but I accept that what I did is causing this circumstance.
So basically naming the mistake. And I'm able to, you know, it's easier in some ways, okay, to be able to say you were right than I was wrong. You follow me?
Yeah.
But when I'm able to admit I was wrong and I'm taking responsibility for it, that carries more weight than just acknowledging that you were right. You ever have that in your conversations with someone?
Yeah. Do you have more bullet points? I need more.
Yeah, no problem at all. So you may be, this may be your style, if you want people to take ownership of the hurt they caused, taking that responsibility, and you want someone to clearly state what they did wrong to prove they can learn from the mistake. You follow me?
Yeah. I think for me, it's hard to differentiate this one from number one.
Sure.
They almost feel...
And that's why we're going to go through all five. Yeah.
Like, I'm starting to see, based on the second one, that there are some overlap or some, like, some, yeah, like nuance to it.
Exactly.
All right.
And you be the difference in responsibility, that you don't want to hear excuses. Okay. Yeah. Cause if someone's just giving you excuses, it's not like you don't feel as if they're accepting responsibility.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'm processing my own, like, how do I think about this?
And
I think for me, it's interesting. I think I'm definitely number one in the sense that if you express some excuses, but you truly express the regret for what happened, I'm okay with the excuses. I can let those slide.
You can understand.
Yeah. But I can see how it could be the other way where I don't care if you regret, you know, whatever. What I care is that you see how to change it, you know.
And I go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I have done, I do that to a degree as well. So I could, but like wanting to believe that the regret translates into an understanding for the future, right?
Yeah.
So,
I think that's what makes this so interesting, because I think we've all been in those moments where I'm trying to say I'm sorry to the best of my ability, but it just seems as if it gets lost in the translation because that other person is looking for something different than I'm giving them.
Yeah.
And I may very well be willing to take full responsibility, but I'm not necessarily demonstrating a regret to you that says, I am sorry for the inconvenience that created for you and the effect that it had on you in that process. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying this is going to be a little bit of a nuanced thing. Well, and you're going to,
you may have to... I started smiling because it made me think of the fact that sometimes I'm perfectly willing to forgive until someone starts apologizing.
Oh.
And it's like, wait a second.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, carry on. But that's funny.
Yeah. And this one's a little different too, in the sense, number three is the ability to make restitution. Okay. Different from responsibility, but I'm willing to make restitution, including finding a way to correct the situation. You follow me? And I think that's where people fall into issue. You know, it's like,
what if I want all of these so far?
Well, I think so often it will be, you know, how often have we heard, well, you're not sorry because you keep doing the same thing. You haven't done anything different. Yeah. You follow me? And yep. It demonstrates that I'm not sorry, you know, if I'm not willing to make restitution. But it almost comes down to, you know, if something is broken or lost or stolen, you know, that person, because of what you did, you're willing to make restitution or replace or pay for that inconvenience. Hmm. Okay.
But isn't that different than... I have to sneeze.
Oh. Bless you.
I think that's how I see it first.
I sneeze on air. Oh, wow.
I'm not going to cut that out. So okay.
You could definitely find it in the audio, though. Yes. It's definitely going to be a little spike. Yeah. Exactly.
Isn't it different to say, I want to see that you'll make it right mm-hmm. right now versus I want to see you make it right permanently? Mm. Right? So I could see number two and number three being distinct, and that number two sounds like... I'm working through these, you know.
Yeah, but yeah,
like,
you are.
I'm taking responsibility to the degree that I know that I made that mistake and I can again, and like kind of accepting the future part of it, where the restitution is, well, I'll make it right now, I'll pay you that $5 or whatever, and then you feel your conscience is clear, but that doesn't mean it sticks. What do you think?
I'm hearing where you're coming from, and I think. Timing plays into all five of these.
Okay.
You follow me? What it looks like and how soon I need to do something or how soon something needs to happen. That become more evident in five, but being able to recognize that, you know, an apology is this nuanced thing.
Yeah.
You follow me? And being able to understand our differences, I think it just helps us speak it better. And that's where I was excited to be able to kind of share this. And actually, Lizzie, you know, brought my attention to this. It was something they did in like with their RAs, you know, be able to, as you develop leadership, you know, you want to create that awareness that how different styles come into play. And I think, when we think about restitution, we can think about those things and doing it quickly, but being able to recognize betrayal can be a part of that too, in such a way that makes it up to them. You follow me? In other words, that person saying, okay, I realize I did this. How can I make it up to you? That's restitution speaking versus responsibility.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see that distinction.
Yeah. So being able to recognize, okay, yeah, this took, and so you may, making restitution may be your language. If you want someone to prove they're willing to correct the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of that putting your money where your mouth is type thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And you might be, if you find it important for the person that offended you to make things right again. Okay, this is what I need to see from you going forward, that kind of thing. And you want someone to take the lead. I thought that was good in this process too. Being able to, you know, restitution, being able to see, I did this wrong. How can I make it up to you? In other words, that person's basically willing to acknowledge it and they're being forthright about coming to you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So that's three.
It's interesting, as we're talking, we kind of are flip-flopping back and forth between the forgiver or the apologizer and the apologizee.
Sure.
When we talk about it, because it's, you know, you kind of have to describe it from both directions to really get a good grasp of it.
Sure.
But because you said someone who apology lifestyle is about making restitution expects you as the apologizer to take the lead, right?
Yes.
And as the, if that's your love style, that's typically what you'll do, I think, right? Is like, you take the lead. Like, I'm going to make this right to you, and let me get my billfold.
Yep.
Billfold. Wow.
Wow. Where'd that come from?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever said billfold in my life till now. But it just sounded like old timey Western. Yeah. I'm going to, you know, pay for your fence. Let me get my billfold.
Put your money where your mouth is.
That's right.
Yes. No, that's fair enough. So here we go. Number four.
Number four. We got four fingers up.
Number four is genuinely repenting. Okay. Repenting requires a change in behavior. Sorry is not enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Engage in the problem solving and don't make excuses.
That sounds like a combination of all of them.
Well, I'm hearing you.
Sorry.
But being able to make a better or specific plan for change and a sincere desire to do so.
Yeah. Okay. Plan. Okay.
So that's showing a genuine repentance in that process that I am willing to. What I'm saying is I recognize I did this to that degree and I'm implementing this to let you know that it is my desire for it not to happen. Whoop.
Wow.
Bless
you. That makes two.
Justin's allergic to apology.
That's what it is.
No, but
there's so much to that, Mark. So much. Carry on.
A sincere desire to do better.
Yeah.
Okay. And you may be that may be your style if you need proof someone is growing and working towards change. Okay. I need to see, you know, what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's not enough that you're telling me you're sorry. I want to see that you're there's a desire to implement change. And you need assurance you won't be let down again or next time around. Okay. And that person's ability to develop that plan is part of that.
Yeah.
Not that you won't be let down, but you're trying to avoid being let down. And I think that's a difficult thing for some people in this process of being able to recognize growth. Cause I think so often it comes back to, you know, people want to say, okay, yeah, you're acknowledging it, but it won't happen again.
Yeah.
You follow me? Yeah. And, you know, and we'll deal with this, you know, with addictions, even at times, that ability to be able to say, hey,
yeah,
how are you developing a plan?
Yeah.
Yeah. How is it going to be different going forward? And because this is another good clarification, words aren't enough.
Yeah.
I want to see action. I want to see a change. Because words aren't enough.
Yeah. Let me break that down. So
sure.
Expressing regret, words can be enough. Accepting responsibility, words can be enough.
Hmm.
Ability to make restitution, maybe not.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Valid point.
Well, I'm just.
No.
So I feel what like you're there's hearing. A progression there. Yeah.
And yeah.
Genuinely repenting is definitely words aren't enough.
Yeah.
Can you make restitution with just words? Probably not, right?
Well, I think I mean, in an aspect of betrayal, I probably could because there might not necessarily be a specific action or, you know, a monetary exchange being able to recognize, you know, that the restitution, it's about my ability to make up for it. How can I make up for it, you know, in that process when I think about restitution?
That's true.
Okay.
Are we getting the fifth finger?
Our whole hand is up. And then the fifth one, and it seems kind of overarching, like you're saying, requesting forgiveness. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it involves an allowing the other person to process hurt before assuming everything is back to normal. And I think that's where I was coming to the fifth one. The fifth one really is about timing. Because I think so often, you know, being able to say, I'm so sorry for letting you down. Can you find in your heart to forgive me?
Hmm.
You follow me? I'm willing to put the words into play, but I'm also willing to recognize you may need time to be able to do so.
Hmm.
Because what I did.
That's the healthy version of this.
Yeah.
The unhealthy version is I need you to forgive me right now.
And yes.
Like, maybe that person can't get there, but you, that's your style. So you're not going to leave till they forgive you.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
And so you
I think, cause it's probably like a lot of things where there's like a continuum of good, bad versions of these.
Sure. Right?
The worst version looks like this. The best version looks like this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I'm just thinking in hindsight, we should have taken this beforehand and it might have made a little more sense for it to be able
the quiz?
To talk. Yeah. The quiz ahead of time because I did do it a while ago.
Yeah.
But that's how long it's been. And I'm not even sure what my language is still at this point, but I think it's what made it so neat for me in this process. Oh, I want to, I'm sorry. Oh, being able to say, I'm sorry for letting you down. Can you find in your heart to forgive me? I think that puts power back into the relationship in such a way that the hurt individual is able to hear that. You follow me? I chose to do something that hurt you. Now I'm also giving you that power back to be able to forgive me.
And I would say that's on the healthy side of the continuum.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that being said, so it leaves room for that. This might be yours thing if you're a person that's not quite ready to reconcile, you know, that person that needs mm-hmm. a little more time, or you need more from the apology and you want the space to ask for it. In other words, you're hearing that person right now, but you might need a little more clarification on a few issues.
Yeah.
You might need a little more information at times.
Yeah, or space.
Or space, yes. In other words, it's more about processing.
Yeah.
I might need some time, and you need to know the person apologizing, like you said earlier, is willing to wait. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Like you were saying, well, I need you to forgive me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Those are the five styles.
So, I had a thought.
Sure.
You're talking about all these, because I feel like, just like in each of these styles, I was saying there's kind of a continuum, maybe, of good and bad versions. Okay. I also feel like,
tell me what you're thinking.
At Justin. Celebrate Recovery, we often talk about what our struggle is, and one of the things I talk about often is resentment. That's just kind of an ongoing struggle of mine, and I feel like that being a weakness in me or a struggle that I kind of continue to experience in my life. Mm-hmm. I think all of these apply to me.
Well, and I think that's what
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Is my wife is mm-hmm. easy to forgive, easy to apologize. And I feel like she struggles with very few of these in terms of expectation. So
sure.
The receiving end. The apologizee end. And so when I think from an apologizee end, right, I think I want all of these things.
Sure.
To some degree.
And I think in some ways, I think the level of hurt we experience would probably branch out a little more.
Yeah.
If I forgot to take the trash out. You know, that's going to be a little different than having an affair or something to that degree, because I think I'm just going to be more aware, and I'm going to need more based on the level of hurt that I experienced.
So if you're looking at a fork,
an axis,
XY axis, right? Yeah. One axis is amount of pain and amount of hurt in the thing. The other one might be time and repeat offenses.
Sure.
Because that affects it too, right? Like the more time there's been and the more repeat offenses, the more this list grows probably. Like
likely.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'll need more time to forgive you if you've done it 10 times.
Exactly.
Than if you've done it once.
Yeah.
And I'll actually want to see genuine repentance if it's a pattern.
Yeah.
Right. And right. You can go through all these and see how they will probably grow over time if the offense continues in a repeat fashion.
And I think what made this neat for me is I can recognize, or you know, I can think of specific times. Of course, I've made mistakes in my relationship with Chris, but I can respect the fact that so often what I desired to communicate, I was trying to think about what it was. Oh, I had this was a bad habit on my part. I wouldn't necessarily take responsibility for what I did, okay, where Chris was concerned. I would say something to the effect of, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. You follow me?
Oh, I follow, yeah.
Yeah, and I think so often that's where, you know, it kind of breaks down. And being able to honestly communicate that I regret what I did versus I'm sorry I got caught and you got upset at me.
Yeah.
Those are different things.
Yes, they are. Yeah. I feel like we could branch out into what not to say.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I think there's definitely some, that's one, I think, right? Would you agree? You probably never should say, that I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't think of a scenario where that's probably the I don't know. I'm processing.
You don't see a scenario where that statement is beneficial. Yeah, it seems like that's
probably not a good way to apologize. Pretty much ever.
Right? That's correct.
Okay.
I agree.
I guess I passed
one. I had
that's
I learned this one the hard way. You know, because it minimizes what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It minimizes what I did.
Not only does it minimize what I did, it mm-hmm. really puts the blame on you.
Other person.
If you weren't a better person, this wouldn't have hurt you. So I'm sorry mm-hmm. that you're not a better person.
Yeah.
It
puts the blame on the other person instead of taking responsibility for it. If you weren't so sensitive, you wouldn't be upset.
And what's interesting too about these love styles or these apology styles is sometimes the way we're apologizing is genuine, but it's read as disingenuine. Right?
That's correct.
And so you probably were truly sorry when you said it.
I'm willing to recognize I could still be wrestling with that pride dynamic in such a way that and granted that I think that's where the frustration came into me for me, because awareness wasn't there. And it took me years. Sorry, I'm a slow learner, but it took me years to be able to recognize, no, it's not about you saying, it's not about me saying you were right.
Yeah.
It's about my ability to admit that I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Follow me. And being able to say, this is how what I did affected you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so some other examples of what not to say, I'm sorry, but right.
Sure.
And following it up. I mean, it's excuses, any kind of excuses for your behavior. I think there is room for apologies where you try to help the understanding of what brought you to the place where you hurt them saying this is not an excuse, like making it clear that it's not an excuse, but trying to provide some insight to, I guess, allow them to see how you see it.
Sure.
But that's
sharing perspective.
Yeah, thank you. That's a better term. Sharing perspective
may very well come across though, as creating a defense.
Yes, yes. That's why I was talking so slow. I'm like, I don't know how you say this without encouraging even doing that. Because I think, I should be able to explain my point of view and it should help the whole thing.
I want to tread
real lightly with that.
Yeah. Because in some ways it is that dynamic of creating, you know, a defense or making excuses. And that's where it gets lost, because our partner in that relationship, the other person's only hearing a minimized, perspective on, well, you'd done the same thing if you'd been in my shoes.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And I think that's where we start losing that effective apology, is when in my ability to be able to say, I did that. And I really am sorry that I did that. And I can see that I have done that in the past. And, you know, depending on your style, it is my desire to put things in place that basically you can see that I'm trying not to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's no, I'm sorry, but at that point.
Yeah.
It's full ownership.
Yeah. What are some other don'ts?
When
you look at these.
I'd say another
one. It's not my fault. I'm sorry. It's not my fault, but it's not my fault.
Or that's. It's not my fault. I'm blaming other people.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of the same. But.
And I think another one that comes out of that defensiveness is, thinking that I know how much I've hurt that other person. That's a big pitfall that I'll see.
That's